Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, check out this episode's show notes for a special link. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, joined here today by Gabriel.
Good morning.
Afternoon. Night, whenever evening, it is you're listening to this.
Good night.
It is morning.
And that other voice is Roberto.
Hey, what's
Robbie.
Up?
Rob.
Rob. I do enjoy
Tesla man.
Did you see the response to that?
Yeah,
who wrote the
you
response?
You got demoted.
What? I can't remember who. Oh, it was Hooligan.
I don't think they know.
I laughed so hard.
I didn't see the response. What did he say?
I'm going to pull it up here.
Yeah, you got to read it.
We'll have to do this and appreciate it. So this is a quick pitch to our
Patreon.
Explain the picture first, okay? Because
Andrew throw it in.
We'll let Joe explain the picture.
Yeah, if you're not in our Patreon, this is what you're missing.
Exactly. This is the high quality content.
I was sitting and working on an article diligently doing my job.
Yeah.
And I hear Joe over there giggling.
It was just one of those that just hit me.
Go ahead.
So as I'm editing, you know, I'll randomly stop on frames, and if it's Robbie making a ridiculous face, sometimes it just gets me.
Yeah.
Well, this one just hit perfectly because he's making this face.
That was his response.
That's great.
I was like, oh,
we'll set the
I
record
like that.
Straight.
I like
because if you've never edited video, you have no idea how silly you look.
Yeah, like
frame at a time.
You end up just finding frames.
What is like, what would look like natural speaking?
And this one's
looks
Robbie
really
just
silly.
Like yeah. I don't know. We'll have Andrew throw it in on the video.
When I talk, I'm expressive in my face.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I use my hands a lot.
Yes. Right.
So I end up in some really dumb poses. Yeah.
Like, but, hence the banjo.
But yeah. we love sharing like just random stuff in the general thread on Discord. It's a fun community in there. If you're not familiar, you can go join that for $5 a month. Over at Patreon.
You also get ad-free access to the site.
Exactly.
Dope. Yeah.
Right after that, I shared early access to a video that's coming out soon. So,
yeah. So there's a bunch of benefits,
cool stuff.
But the community itself is kind of
yeah,
where it's
and
at.
It's and really obviously helpful. You're getting access to hop in and chat with us, but there's very smart, knowledgeable people in the community
yes.
who are
way
also
smarter
sharing
than us.
Yeah, sharing cool stuff too. So I found this frame of Robbie and I said, "Hi, I'm Robbie. Let me tell you about my Tesla."
Which we're going to talk about.
More on that in a moment.
And then Hooligan said, brave trolling your boss like that.
Ah, yeah. Burn.
We are business partners.
Yeah, to be fair, not anyone's boss.
But that's really funny.
Well, I guess Michael's boss, technically. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Michael.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's funny, though.
I mean, yeah. Technically, it's 0.1%.
I'm a percent of a percent of the boss.
I had something.
I hold on to founder. We were on a call yesterday.
Absolutely.
And a guy referred it to. I know there's three founders, so I'm going to be like, no.
No. No.
When the actual
That's my company, only title.
When the actual company was created, we're all founders.
Yes.
Technically. We give Robbie true founder status.
Robbie founder.
He started this.
And I said, I want that title.
He started it. It is his.
It's on my desk.
It is him.
Yeah.
He is the man.
We are nothing.
Honey is in there barking. If you didn't know, we have an
Honey's
office
like,
dog.
Who's the boss?
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah, she's.
I got
there.
Him on a string.
Yeah, she's in there.
She's
running
like,
the roost.
Watch next time we go outside. He's gonna pick up my crap.
Exactly. See who's the boss.
Now who's boss?
Okay. one quick thing before we dig into some news. Well, I mean, this is kind of news, but we forgot to talk about it last week. We are working with our friends over at Panova. Who have just put out their USI 2.0 pen.
Yes.
And we have an exclusive promo code that will save you some money If you go buy one, 05 Unboxed, you can use it on Amazon. So we'll make sure to link it in the show notes. But 2.0 pen, so, yeah, so works with
all US.
And we're starting to see hints of other companies putting some out. I think there's one other out on the market right now, but good luck finding it. Lenovo's has been out of stock for weeks. So if you're hunting for a USI pen, this isn't just go buy this one because it's the only one available. Yep. It's go buy this one because Pinovo literally makes
it. Yeah, I mean, the last one, the 702, is that the last one? Yep. Recommended that one and used that one for a long time.
It had the eraser on it, which was a cool feature. This one doesn't, and it's like...
I wish it did have it, but I don't know. Maybe they just needed to get this one in the market, and I don't know. Who knows? Well, or a price point. Who knows?
A lot of software too. Basically, it the finger input is the eraser, and then the pen. So it's almost for me, it's just easier to just move the pen aside, reach out. And
I didn't realize that.
I did not either.
They're not all that way, but Robbie's
dropping some knowledge here.
How does
cursive doesn't do that, which is unfortunate. But I know, like, what I've have used for a long time for any of this stuff. If I'm really trying to take notes, which I don't do very often, but Squid does that, which is really nice.
I need to test it on the drawing website that OpenAI made.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool. So, but,
and we're going to talk about this Chromebook here in a little bit, but we did test this on the Asus CX5601. Mm-hmm. While we were trying to get some promotional stuff together for this, and while we were doing that review, and the inking experience
was nice,
really good.
Like sitting and writing, like not thinking,
right?
Like that you're writing on a screen.
You didn't feel like you were having to compensate for lag, or
it was instant. So that was really nice.
It was impressive, and that was in cursive. So
I love the weight of this pen too. All metal, so it's going to hold up well. And you know, the cool thing is like, you might have a Chromebook that has a smaller rechargeable stylus that's stowable, but for longer sessions, or if you're using it a lot, something a little bit more comfortable. This one does also have the cone kind of tip, which I like a lot, and it's replaceable.
Yeah, so it's not the older USIs had that.
It's like just a tiny straight tip, nib,
which I like that, but they always kind of had a retraction to them.
Yeah,
and so it's a little weird feeling.
Yeah,
There's another one around the office.
This one's more Apple Pencil-ish. Yeah. HP's like that one too.
Yeah, there's another one that's not Pinovo that has that look. You think when you pick it up, it's going to have some heft to it, like, and it's like not. It's like crazy, and I don't like that.
I like to feel like
I'm writing with a pen.
Nice weight. Obviously, just like the last one, USB-C charging. So
did you say magnets already?
Oh no, I did not. I've got a little short vertical video that I'm going to be putting out.
the last few frames is really fun.
But yes, magnets included on this one. So if you have a Chromebook that has that feature, like the HPs,
if you don't know,
do
for
all
sure,
the HPs have the, those
a lot
magnets?
Of them do. Yeah. So if you don't know for sure if your Chromebook does or not, I wouldn't buy this pen on the idea that it's going to have magnets. It's going to attach. It just depends. You need the magnets, obviously, in the Chromebook too. Most Chromebooks have magnets in them in different places because
might be on the top of the lid.
But a lot of the HPs have them built in because HP makes their own stylus. So if it's a USI compatible Chromebook, I think in the last couple of years they've just put those magnets on there.
It's so pretty likely
theirs will fit. These magnets are basically in the exact same spot. So like we have that old 12B Chromebook. It's an older HP. It was one of the first ones that came out with USI support, and that thing snaps right onto it really nicely.
It's kind of nice storage. If you're just working and need to put it down somewhere, this one also has kind of a flatter side on two sides, so
less prone to roll.
Yeah. It still rolls a little bit, but then it kind of settles down.
So, I still like, you can't really do it on the thinner devices, but I like the HP EDU device that has the slot in the keyboard
right
deck.
Top.
It pops in there, it charges right there. Like, that's a cool feature. If it, like I said, you couldn't do it on like a Dragonfly or it's too thin, but still.
That's true. Yeah.
But if you want to pick up one of these, we've got a promo code that's going to last for a few more weeks, 05 Unboxed. It, I think, expires on February 10th. So if you're listening to this soon, when this episode comes out and you want to get one of these, definitely use our exclusive promo
code. I'm not a relationship coach, but Valentine's Day, if you're looking for a gift.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like a mouse. I've said this a lot. You know, even if you have a Chromebook, just like Joe said, with the removable stylus, like it's my Chromebook also has a trackpad, but sometimes I like a mouse.
Yep.
Exactly.
And so it's like a thing you just precision. Buy it, you put it in your bag, and you use it when you need it and don't when you don't, but it's going to work with Chromebooks down the road, and it's just a nice accessory
you
can buy.
And you're covering your bases getting the 2.0 version, you know, making sure that it's going to work.
The Pixel tablet is reportedly, everything around the Pixel tablet's a rumor, but looks pretty certain that it's going to be USI compatible.
It's crazy because that'll be the first non-Chrome OS device, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not much other than Chromebooks that are USI, which I want to see that expand.
Absolutely.
That's just going to make developers take more advantage of all those APIs, and like it'll snowball once it gets going. So
I mean, you look at like what Lenovo's doing with like the Tab Extreme and stuff. Yeah. Android tablets are getting back to where they're competitive in the tablet space. They need good... You know, you don't need to be locked into a specific pin like you are in Apple's world.
And there's no need for it anymore. No. There's just no need. And the more Android tablets aren't going to be the thing that pushes the...
Let's make a USI-compatible Apple Pencil.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
We'll be rich.
I think that won't happen, but they're just getting USB-C.
We'll make an Apple Pencil clone that's USI.
Oh, there you go.
It'll be the Crapple Pencil.
Oh, wow.
Hey, as we were making fun of him for wearing his Apple AirPods.
Yeah.
No.
Earpods.
He's called EarPods. $13.
Hey, and they're solid.
Fine. My ear just, and I've said this 100
times. Yeah, riding
times.
Around in his Tesla, like this, using his Apple stuff.
That I bought like 6 years ago.
At least now he doesn't look like he's wearing an Apple Watch.
That's true.
That was a great comment I always loved responding to.
Not an Apple Watch.
I would just troll and say, yeah, Robbie uses all Apple stuff. Yeah.
Didn't you know?
Didn't you know? He only uses Chromebooks. That's the only thing that he
The ear tip of this is the exact same size as the standard AirPod.
Yeah. And
my ears, it's just like they molded these after my ears.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I could wear these literally all day. They don't bother me at all. Like, there's not a point in this podcast where I'm like, ooh, I need to get these out of my ear.
They're comfortable.
And they stay put in my ear. I love them.
They're comfortable.
I wish that Apple could somehow make this style of an earbud
noise canceling.
Yeah. It's not really possible.
Right.
I don't know.
One day,
I don't know how they would do that.
Like the microphone speaker combo where it's canceling out somehow.
It's going to cancel every frequency real time.
Everything. It's everything canceled. I know you're going to weave it in somehow. So let's talk about the Tesla. We talked about it last week. You were... getting very interested, and in true Robbie fashion, it snowballed.
Beat me to the punch. I said end of the month.
I turned in my rental on Saturday, and I purchased a vehicle on Monday.
Yep, he's like, hold my coffee. I'll do this in 3 days.
It
was not intended to be that fast, but...
We were scheduled to film, and I walked in, and he had that look in his eye.
I was like, wait,
I knew. He was like, I think I'm going to go up to buy a Tesla today. And I was like, of course you are. Go, just
but,
do it.
I mean,
because you need to let him just get it done and be out of his system. Because it's like, once his brain's on it, he's not thinking about a video.
In his defense, though, it wasn't just like, impulse, I'm going to do it. The stars aligned, and this was a very good transition to his new vehicle.
The discounts and price cuts aren't going to last forever, and...
it was the right place, right time thing.
Yeah.
Tax credits, and I found it at a dealership, a Hyundai dealership actually in Louisville, and they'd just gotten it in. And
wonder what they bought. What they bought, I don't know. Palisade.
I don't know. my guess is with as few miles as it has on it, they probably figured out that with their lifestyle or what they're doing,
whatever.
Like, how many miles did it have?
19,000.
I wonder if it was a lease turn in.
Ooh, could have been.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
could have been that.
I know how to find out. We'll talk later.
there was probably something with it. Something didn't work out with it, or who knows?
Yeah.
Hopefully, I don't find out something later that, like, oh, no, this I is mean, why
we,
they offloaded
we, we
it.
See, we saw that all the time in the car business. Somebody could have just bought it because they really were sold on the electrified vehicles and then just realized, I mean, maybe they had another kid. They needed something bigger. Yeah. They decided they wanted a car. You never know.
And 20,000.
So it was in a flood. I mean,
That's the scary part with used vehicles.
Did you check the Carfax?
Yeah.
The Carfax are clean.
Yeah.
I know that only means about 80% of the solution.
What'd you end up getting?
It's a 2021 Model Y long range all-wheel drive.
So it's the dual motor.
Yeah. And so it was a Yeah, it was the whole thing happened because we were on our way back from Louisville or Indiana from a volleyball tournament, and on the way up we had talked on Saturday because my daughter played Saturday and Sunday. On the way up, as my wife and I were talking, it was like, this Model 3 is nice. And don't get me wrong, the Model 3 is an absolute blast to drive. It is so fun.
It's like a little go-kart.
Yeah, but if you've ever sat in like a Corvette or something like that, like a sportier car that sits down really low, and you feel like you're like on the road, and it's like this visceral experience, all that stuff's really neat until you have a wife and two kids a dog, and you know,
my wife hates
a real
cars.
Life. She can't stand and so I shouldn't have said a real life. That's going to make somebody feel bad. That's not what I mean. You know, like, you're not single and just able to do whatever the F you want to do.
You're a family man.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to deal with all of those realities. Right. And what I meant to say was getting back to like real life.
Yeah.
Like once I
got
out of the, well, this is fun to drive this around. And it's like, okay, real life is setting in now. It's like,
right.
Okay. So
I don't know if he mentioned this. He said he turned in his rental last Friday. He rented a Tesla.
I think we talked about that.
Yeah, that's right.
We did listen. If you didn't listen last week, catch you up. Yeah, went through Turo because I was with
the
tax credits.
Which, how was the experience with Turo?
Turo was awesome.
I've heard great things about
that. I likely will only rent from Turo moving forward.
Yeah, thinking about that because we only need a car for like one day when we're.
Dude, it's so good.
I'm really thinking about that.
You know, because it's all the ride sharing stuff.
But through
a rental, or it's like Airbnb kind of thing. So you can see the rating of the person. So, you know, you get a really good idea of what you're getting and who you're going to be renting from. And this guy was so helpful.
Like, oh my gosh, he was awesome.
He offered, actually, when I dropped it off and reached out to him later, I was like, hey, we were going to swing through and drive this Model Y that happened to be for sale. My wife was like, hey, we're up here. Let's see if there's one for sale. You can just go test drive it. And I'm like, I feel bad going to test drive a car I know I'm not going to buy. And she was like, I don't care. And I was like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fine. Let's go check it out. And so in the process of that, like, we get to the place, we talk to the sales guy, and he's a new guy, and he was super nice, non-pushy at all. It was the entire experience with Oxmoor Hyundai was fantastic. I mean, I just never felt pressured in any way, shape, or form. They didn't try to push their warranties on me. They didn't try to push their payment stuff. Like, they got that I showed up knowing what I was doing, and that's what I wanted, and they just let me do that. And I mean, it was awesome.
I probably can't warranty that car.
No, they had it. I had
really?
Decided
I
wouldn't offer it. I mean, it was already warranty, but he was like, you know, I'm not bothering doing this. I'm not going to bother you all. You got a good rate. I went through Tenet, so they do EV financing. And so, it was full-blown contrarian style going into the dealership to buy a Tesla. They didn't know what they had. Anyway, so on Sunday, we're looking at this car. Well, they'd gotten it in. They thought they could just charge it on their chargers because they have some electrics. It's a Hyundai seller. Well, obviously, those don't work. And because this car had been surrendered, no one owned it, so there's no prepayment or anything for a supercharger on there. They hadn't like signed in, did nothing, and so it's 0 miles. It was sitting there, so I was able to at least sit in it and look at it. And as soon as I sat down in it, I knew, like, coming from the Model 3, like, this is more like what I'm after here. So that was helpful, but I couldn't drive it.
That makes me wonder, though, because you can rent Teslas to like Enterprise and stuff like that. Do they give you like some kind of prepaid corporate card?
They could just they would have to add you. Or they'd have to do it as an incidental, basically. That's how Turo does it. So he can look at the history of what I supercharged and charge me the incidental.
Oh, okay.
Long story short, the guy that rented from Turo, when I left there, it was like, we went over to this other car lot that had a couple Model Ys. Well, they were closed. It was a Sunday. So I kind of looked at him and I'm like, well, crap. You know, I wanted to be able to, just while we're up here in Louisville, not have to make a drive up here. I just want to test drive one so then I can start shopping. And that was the whole idea. And so I didn't get to do that. But the guy I rented from, I had messaged him and I was like, hey, do you happen to have, because he said he had three Teslas. And I was like, do you happen to have a Model Y? And he's like, yeah, it's my main car. I don't rent it. He's like, and I got some stuff going on this afternoon, but you're more than welcome to come up tomorrow. I'll let you awesome. Drive it. Let you take it out and drive it. Yeah. I'm like,
he was
like,
cool.
There's like this side community of people that own Teslas. Like, I don't know. It's yeah. like this, like, oh.
When you're going to start tarotting yours.
Right.
No time soon. I was like, no.
And so he was awesome. Gave him, obviously, a really good rating. But then you kind of know that who you're dealing with these things. So anyway, we get home. I obviously go into full Robbie mode on this. And I'm looking at Teslas on Tesla's website and realizing that the prices are good. So for a 2021 used on Tesla's website, you do get the full self-driving package, which is nice, but they're right around 40,000 to 50,000 miles for the same price I paid, so right around 48,000 to 49,000, and then you got to pay a delivery fee to get it, because it's in California or it's in Arizona or whatever, and so it starts piling up a little bit, and I was like, if I can find it, you know, $3,000-$4,000 less, that changes my financing a little bit. It keeps me under that 55,000 for the tax credit, yada, yada, all that stuff. So I start shopping on Vroom. Well, Vroom can't give me a straight answer on whether the vehicle has the self-driving package or not. Tesla's basically, when I talk to them, they're like, it's not supposed to follow. It's supposed to, like, the driver has to basically say, yes, I want to give this to this person. Because the driver has the option to go buy another Tesla and transfer it to their own Tesla. So they're like, well, there's no way for us to know what they've done based on just you looking at the computer. So I looked and shopped and all this kind of stuff. And what I started realizing was like, I mean, that one that I tried to test drive and sat in, at least for the miles and the price they were asking, like, that's extremely competitive. And it's just right up the road. Like, I don't have to get it delivered. I don't have to drive to Nashville or Knoxville or Indianapolis to go get it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, this is interesting. So I reach back out to this guy, and who probably thought he wasn't going to talk to me again. And he was super helpful. He gave him the VIN to my car. Just like, hey, you know, what can you do here? Because Tesla and Vroom are all telling me about 11,000 trade for my HRV. How can you help me out here? I was like, I'm looking to sell it private market for around 15. And so he comes back about an hour later, and they figured it out. They gave me enough that with the tax, how's that work? You're not paying X amount of dollars.
Yeah, so used
taxes.
To used, you only pay tax on the difference between the two vehicles.
Yeah, so. And so that savings and that, and that what he got me to run around $15,000.
Which
so
is like, crazy.
Like, that. Ooh, I mean, okay. Because, I mean, I bought that car 6.5 years ago for $21,000. Yeah. I mean, nuts.
Honda's
as
wild.
A trade. It's not. I didn't sell it. It's a trade. And I didn't have to do anything. He gave it once over and was like, "All right."
Have you looked to see how much they're selling it for?
I was gonna say
they'll probably sell for $18,000-$19,000. Yeah. I bet. And so they were able to do that. They knocked. I mean, they knocked $500 off. Whatever. They dropped the price a little bit. And so, like, once it all added up, like, the financing made sense. I had some money set aside for a down payment, and took that plus my trade plus the tenant lets you do deferred for your. I only get a $4,000 tax credit since I bought used. And so I deferred that amount for a couple years so that when I get my tax credit back next year, I can just turn around and apply it to the loan, and brought the payment down really low.
Yeah.
So it's about the same payment I had on my Honda.
Yeah.
On my little HRV Honda. And it's this Model Y with all this awesome stuff. It's just an amazing vehicle. And
it's we got to figure out. We'll just do some social stuff today and just post it on Instagram stories.
Yeah.
And
kind of say it's there. But, you know, I'm leaning more and more towards doing something, doing some video content around it, because I just think there's clearly a lot of people that are doing it, for sure. But, you know, no offense to anybody, there's not a lot of people doing it really well. So I've the number of things already in just a few days of ownership that I've had to look up to figure out.
An hour in here yesterday researching windshield wipers.
Because I'm like, you know, you go buy windshield wipers and they come with like six little adapters or whatever. I'm like, well, do any of those fit? Because the Tesla one, you touch a button on the top and it slides out. I'm like, well, does that thing clippy come with the Michelin, you know, that are over at Walmart, or do I need to buy specific ones? And so in the forums, there's like, even the videos I found were, they're just like, here's how to change it. Okay. That it's a wiper blade and it's a button, for crying out loud. It's got a setting. You click it and it moves the wipers up for you. You know, it's like, okay, that part I'm not worried about. Like what blades and do random blades. So I need to go buy some of the ones that people have said, yes, these work.
Yeah.
They're in stock. Right.
Make a video.
Does it have a rear blade?
Bada bing, bada boom.
No, wish it did. It's not that. Yeah.
Because it's got that huge dome on the back.
It's just not slanted enough to.
Yeah. Once you get going, though, there's so much aerodynamics to it. It pushes all the water off of it.
All the wet.
All the wet.
All the liquid off.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the story of the acquisition of the of the Tesla. And so that's why Monday it was like, once all this stuff was working, I'm like, this is great. You've done all this stuff for me. If I don't go buy the thing, and somebody else is like, well, that's a great deal. Yeah. I have that in cash. Yeah. And drops it, you know, it's gone. And the more I look, the more I realize it was a little unique as far as the number of miles and the price. Like, if I anything else with those miles on it was $3,000 to $4,000 more, and with them offering me the trade value, like, it was very difficult to turn down. And so instead of doing work, I drove up to Louisville and ended up being there really long because
I wish I'd have known you when I sold cars.
I've been preyed upon you.
No, it's not that. It's just, if you understand how car deals work, it obviously was a great deal for Robbie. He wasn't going to find something else like that, but it sounds to me like you said he was a new salesperson.
Yeah, so he said that they're trying to do their best to help him.
Yeah, they probably fell into a deal where they were in that car for a good price and they were able to pass that savings on to a customer, which is awesome because I mean we actually are going to start dealing with them as well, because no offense, but the car dealership conglomerate here in E-Town, I used to work for them, they were great to work for, but their Hyundai dealership is not my favorite, so we're going to start going to Louisville.
Every person I dealt with at Oxmoor was so
and curious. I know some guys at Oxmoor from when I've worked back. They're a big group up there. They're pretty awesome.
They were great, and I had Landon with me because I was like, I'm not going to go buy this thing without him. So I picked him up from school, went up there, and we didn't leave that car dealership till 6:30 because I finance with Tenet. They usually finance Teslas and other EVs. That's all they do is EV financing because that whole deferment thing is like their thing. So it helps them get the rates down, all this stuff. They don't deal with straight up car lots as often. And so like some of the stuff they were wanting, the car lot was like, we can do that, but normally we do that at the end. We pre-approve you, we get a pre-approval thumbs up, then we can do whatever we want paperwork wise, and when we sign at the end, we'll finish up the loan part. Well, Tenet's like, well, I need this, and they're like, okay. So we went through the entire process at the end because we didn't know what else to do to basically get the bill of sale
that we could send over. Something Tenet and the dealerships are all going to have to figure out, because the way banks normally do it is you get a purchase order from the dealership, it's one piece of paper, and the bank sends over, I think it's called a silver leaf is what it's called,
and
that's just a letter saying, yep, they're good, sign the paperwork.
That's all the dealership is looking for. We just get the pre-approval letter, and they were like, we don't do pre-approval letters. I'm like, well, then how are we supposed to do this?
Is he pre-approved? Blank once for yes.
I'm sure they probably, it's all integrated perfectly with Tesla if you're buying
direct
from them.
It was a little ham-fisted, but we got it done.
But do they own Tenet.com? Is that their...
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Good. And so they literally found a five-letter word that was a .com, and they're like, yep, that's it. That's we're Tenet.
Name. That's our business name.
Tenet.
Yeah, like the movie.
T-E-N-E.
Yeah.
That's a great URL.
A palindrome.
Yeah.
That's a great URL.
And so, their website's awesome. And dealing with them was good, too. It was just... It was clunky on both sides because
you were going through a dealership instead of buying through Tesla. Yeah.
And I was a little frustrated towards the end because it was like I knew their wire stopped at 6 p.m. And I'm like, I'm trying to get this done. And she's like, we'll try to. And then there was a gap of silence for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, why aren't you responding to me? Yeah. Like, that's the annoying part of all of it. And so it was a little back and forth. And, the guys at Oxmoor were very courteous, and they kept apologizing. I was like, it's not your fault. Like, you don't know this.
I'm the contrarian coming in here wanting to use this website to finance this.
At 6 o'clock hit, and our dealer, the sales guy we were working with, he was like, well, he had told me if it didn't work out, because we're up in Louisville, it's like 45 minutes away. He's like, if it didn't work out, we can loan you the car that you gave us back for the night.
Right.
And I was like, cool, I'll do that, and I'll drive back up here once it finalizes. And then he came back about 15 minutes later and was like, you know what? I got it worked out. We're just going to loan you the car that you're buying.
So they loaned me the Tesla home.
The Tesla for the night, and then the financing finished up the next morning.
The Tesla.
The old Tesla.
So there you have it. He's got it out of his system.
I did it. The vehicle's sitting out there.
It's purchased. Now we have to make some content, which will be fun. So stay tuned on that. Okay, we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN.
We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, check out this episode's show notes for a special link. Alrighty, welcome back everyone. I forgot to mention we have Paul back this week.
And back in shape.
Paul's here. He's been watered.
He was a little brown and wilty. He wasn't like dead or anything. He just didn't look great.
I don't know. I have no idea what plant that is, but it's like hard. It's hard to kill
that
him.
He's is, that is a creeping Mary.
That's what you're saying.
you had me Google convinced.
It. You Google had it. Me
convinced. That is my dad had 50 of those in our house they're, growing up, and I have great. No idea what they are.
He didn't get watered for probably like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah,
and then you water him, and
they bounce back.
Bada bing, bada boom. Quick. He's back. All right. Well, while Robbie is looking this up on Google Lens and seeing what we got here.
It said, that's what I thought it was going to say, Devil's Ivy. I'm like, that ain't Devil's Ivy, Google.
Yeah.
Devil's Ivy.
Would you like me to
Devil's die? Ivy is variegated. Like that.
Would all right. Moving on to Chromebooks.
Like when they have the streaks and the
leaves. Would you like me to dust your ficus?
it looks like a ficus tree without the tree.
There's a name.
We'll go down and ask Denizen who does... Yeah. Plant stuff. Who we bought this from.
They have a very good.
We need to repot this darn thing. Whatever happened to that?
It's like a goldfish. I bet you if you put him in a big pot, he's going
to
get.
Yeah. We need to put him down.
He's
going
to go to the next stage.
Okay. Chromebooks. You mentioned the CX5601. That review will be out by the time you're listening to this. So we'll make sure to link it. Just not a great Chromebook.
No, I poo-pooed on it pretty good. And I don't do that too often, but, you know, they sent it to us.
I mean, you got
to
review it. And at the end of the day, like, we need to let people know if it's not a great device.
Yeah, if it's a device that's just not available anywhere and, you know, you can't ever find and it's bad.
There's no point in...
I send them back and just like, man, this is not doing either of us a favor. Like, what am I going to review a thing that you can't buy? Like, that's silly. Like, that's not helpful for anybody. Yeah. So... We skipped those. I've had some of those where we've just said, this is probably not a good idea. Yeah. So,
or they're like $2,000 enterprise devices that people just aren't going to buy
Can review it, but it's like, just like we don't review every single education.
It's funny the perspective, though, because like I used the 5601 for a little while. Because is it Core i5?
It's an i3.
But it's 12th gen, right?
12th gen i3, 8128.
Yeah, I mean, I used it for a little bit, but I stayed docked all the time. Right. So to me, I'm like, oh, this Chromebook's fine. That Chromebook's fine. This Chromebook's fine. I don't look at the screen. I don't mess with the keyboard.
Trackpad.
I
don't
do anything.
And that's why I do my setup, so it forces me to do those things. Because I'd like to not do that too. But I like to just operate from Chromebox. If
yeah.
With the wireless charger.
New
ASUS does have that. Yep. That'll be dope.
That'll be really cool.
And I'll get to review that. I can review it and then I can use it for like a week and actually do that for a little bit.
That'd be dope.
And then go back to reviewing Chromebox.
Yeah.
But I want one for the house for sure.
The 5601, it just feels it's similar to their gaming Chromebook. It was a similar type thing where
their first gaming Chromebook.
Yeah. The new one coming out. Can't wait for it. Awesome looking. It should
We need to buy one. It's available. They're not going to send it to us.
Remind me when we get off here. Okay. I'll send our contact and see when their review window's up because they seem to be like, we'll get these things out quick.
Yeah.
So, they get – ASUS has a lot going on.
Yeah. I made a note.
And so ASUS feels like a very TikTok company. Like we get a great Chromebook from them and then we get some lousy Chromebooks from them. Then we get a great Chromebook and then we get lousy Chromebooks again. And so like we're – these two last two reviews or videos we've done of ASUS Chromebooks feel like the whatever the bad one is.
The talk.
It's a talk bad.
We're going to say the talk is bad.
Talk is bad. We're going to get a shirt made with that. Talk is bad.
Be the tick.
Be the tick.
Be the tick.
Talk is bad.
I guess maybe, I don't know. Yeah, because these feel like rehashed, so it would be talk. Like tick would be the new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so think to ASUS C434. Good stuff. 436 comes out. You know, the what followed that was the CX9,
yeah.
CX5400.
Yeah. Well, they had the 536.
CX5, you know, yeah. What's that?
There was a 536 also. Which one was that?
That's the CX5.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
5501.
Yeah.
Yes,
so the one's white on the outside, yeah. Black on the inside.
Sweet.
Everybody liked it.
Great device.
Except for the screen. The screen was silly that they put that in there. But they followed that up quietly with the 5400, which is still... I think still one of the best Chromebooks you can purchase right now. It's still fantastic. And so those three devices in 2021 all came out, and it was like, cool, ASUS is back. I mean, we did a whole video on it. Like, ASUS got their mojo back. They're back. And then here comes early 2022, and you get, here's this gaming Chromebook. Crap.
That we don't know why we made it.
Like, this is an absolute regurgitation Chromebook. It was not good. The C5601 is what they announced last year at CES. It took forever to show up, and then it's been just really weird to get a hold of. And so when it came in, there was a lot of other stuff going on, so it kind of got pushed to the back. So we finally got it just so that we'd get the review out. And I think it was important to do the review because this looks like the CX5. It looks like their gaming Chromebook.
You're like, this is like, just the bigger version.
It's basically, bigger... A little bit better speakers, maybe a better screen and better room for blah, blah, blah. No.
False.
Just none of that, actually.
Yeah.
All of those assumptions.
The screen feels really cheap, I know.
Yeah, the screen's 1080p at 16 inches.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Very warm.
Like, even at 15.6 inches, you probably should start thinking about Quad HD the minute it goes above that measure. Quad HD is very much called for. Like, from a normal distance, you can pick out pixels all over the screen. Like, so... 1080p doesn't need to be stretched to 16 inches.
There should really be standard resolutions for each screen size.
Yeah.
And I mean, 16-inch, 1080.
It's like when they take the 1366, 768 and stretch them out to a 14-inch device.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yep. That's it. 11.6 is the cutoff.
It looks bad on an 11.6-inch screen.
Yeah.
Like, when you stretch everything out, everything's big on the screen anyway. Like, it's just weird looking.
Yeah. If you've never worked on a larger device with a 1366, oof.
Avoid that.
Yeah.
They're terrible. So, like, the screen is that, you know, the resolution was not great. It's only 250 nits of brightness, so it struggles in many lighting environments. And then, like Joe said, the warmth of this display was, to the point where I was looking in the settings to make sure my night mode wasn't turned on by accident.
You can see it in the thumbnail. So you can see it in a lot of the B-roll.
Yeah, it looks like
a bad
panel. It looks like a screen that has, like, some burnout on it. Yeah. Or, like your Spigen case that's 6 months old. It's that yellow.
It's like it's been smoking.
It's not just, that's what
do you want to get some docs done?
You know, it's got a little yellow. No, it looks like a 20-year nicotine stain is what it looks like.
I'm like, where did y'all find this panel?
What
they
went
to, like, the back of the storage warehouse. They're like, was that a 16?
They were like,
bring them out.
Developers like, what color profile do you want on this monitor? Marlboro. Yeah, it's perfect.
Marge.
You going Winston?
No. Marge.
Marlboro.
Marge is sitting in there. I got a panel for you.
Come back here. It's got a little yellowing on it.
This one, this 16-inch back here is going to do you just fine, ASUS.
So, panel, no good. Short story.
I mean, that sums it up if you want to,
So, you come down, the keyboard is good. Like, it's got the same keyframe as the CX5, the CM5, it's the same keyframe. So, if you liked any of those, it feels like CX9, too. Like, it's pretty clicky, but I enjoy typing on it. It's backlit. Great. The number pad, it's got a huge keyboard deck. And the number pad is still squished. So what that tells me, again, is they took the keyframe from the... Because the CX5 has a number pad, and it's squished because it's a 15.6-inch device.
That's
understandable. This is a 16-inch device. You have extra room. Put a full-size... If you're going to put a number pad on it...
They were like,
no. Put a full-size. Nope, we got these.
Why would we do that? We got these later on.
Just cut those keys out and put that in there. So, again, regurgitated and kind of like, ugh. And the speakers are really good. So it's got a speaker grill across the hinge, and then the two underneath. They do sound great. They really do sound great. But so do the CX5 and the CM5 and the CX5 gaming, whatever. They all have the same speaker in them. The ones up top, I don't feel like added much to the equation.
One's on the side or nice.
And again, it's a much bigger chassis. You got more room. Why not make it like exceptionally good instead of, again, I feel like you found the parts and went, we have some of those. Put those in here.
Do two really tightly tuned 4-watt speakers instead of whatever that is.
Yeah. And again, it's good. So I don't want to be like, oh, the speakers are terrible.
Could have done
better. But they're just the same as everything they've done before. And so once again, instead of taking advantage of the extra space and real estate, it just kind of took some old pieces they had and put them in. The internals are fine. 12th gen Core i3, 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage. So it moves nice and fast. There's no, like, we don't have to talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
It's a 12th gen processor and it's a Core i anything. It's fast. It's not going to have Iris Xe. You're not going to get Steam gaming, and it's going to be a little slower on stuff like
Steam's open to i3 now.
Yeah. Well, you won't be able to play the higher end games because the GPU is definitely a step back. LumaFusion probably will take longer to render.
Yeah.
And we need to do, we've got a couple videos we need to do about LumaFusion. Mm-hmm. One, just, we edited this video on a Chromebook. That's number one. But then secondly, like, I think we could do,
side.
Yeah, here's a Core i3, 12th gen, here's a Core i5 with Iris Xe. And
two identical projects.
Run the same thing, click it, and see what the times are and be able to show that. because that's a, I think that's a really, really clear, hey, here's why you want Iris Xe graphics, and if you can get them. So. Yep. So, you know, whatever, that's not a huge ding against it. But it's just big and heavy. I mean, it was like 4.75 pounds, I think, pushing 5 pounds. And a Chromebook of the exact same size,
hefty.
the Acer, the gaming, the GE Chromebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is under 4 pounds, right? If I'm correct, I think it's like 3.8 pounds.
Yeah.
It's lighter.
3.8.
Way lighter. Yeah. Like a full pound lighter. And you can tell it. Like when you start picking up a big 16-inch device, like the weight distribution matters a little more because it's just physics. You know, it's farther away from your hand, so there's a leverage point and all that kind of stuff. So like you feel the weight even more than you would in a smaller device. And you feel it in this thing, man. It just feels like a slab that's meant to hurt somebody. And I don't know.
Yeah, it could be used as a murder weapon.
Yeah, if you want. It's convertible. If you're going to do that, I don't know. I feel like you might be a sociopath or a psychopath.
I don't know any use case.
If you use that type of device as a
tablet. Display mode, maybe.
Yeah, doing a presentation. That way and doing some gaming, maybe. I can see that. But like going full tablet with that, like.
No way.
Yeah.
You're like a masochist.
You're showing somebody something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or a contrarian.
It's just there for it's just there to say that it can do it.
Yeah.
Like that's what it's there
and
for.
And I feel like a lot of flips. And it's funny because back in the day before we had very many convertible Chromebooks, we want more. But
now it's like this could have been
16-inch devices, they don't need flips.
Never a time with that Acer.
There's too many good convertible 14-inch and 13-inch devices out on the market.
Not great. There you go. It's got some decent ports.
Yeah.
The pin input was great. We talked about that. We did mess with the Pinoval on it. I mean, it was
buttery.
But honestly, most of that's due to the processor.
Right.
I think whatever the web APIs are, I feel like they work better with Intel stuff right now. And that's just Chromebooks in general. It's got a deeper code base that has been written for Intel's stuff than any other processor at this point. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. What's the price point?
$699 is the MSRP, I'm pretty sure.
$699, $670, somewhere.
I think it's $699. Yeah. It's on sale and stuff, and that's why I said at the end of it, like at that price, there's no way I could recommend this device.
You buy the 714 for $729 retail,
and it's most other Chromebooks.
Yeah, it's $150 off right now.
You can get the gaming Chromebooks,
you can get anything.
The Lenovo. Like, there's a bunch of stuff you can get.
If you need a bigger device,
this is not the one I would recommend getting. I think in the review, I just said something to the akin.
Unless
you're a huge Asus fan or. What would the
you
other
need
thing
a 16
be?
Inch. Well, you other. Have to get, you have to get a 16,
a 16 inch
Asus
convertible for something.
Convertible.
That would be the only reason. all three of you out there, go for it.
Yeah.
So it's on Best Buy and all that kind of stuff. But I'll put a button in there for people that want to buy it if they want to.
Sure.
I don't recommend it. There's too many other great Chromebooks.
Yeah. So let's move on to a device.
I might put another. Button under it, buy the Asus at Best Buy, and then put another button, shop any other Chromebook. Maybe here's, I'll say all other.
Here's five other. Yeah, like any better other.
Asus 5601. Also, here's a potato.
Now, to their defense, like that's the talk, right? So we're coming back to
the tick.
Like,
is on the way.
Yeah. Yes, and so we talked about it at CES, and we've talked about it on here already. But that new gaming Chromebook, the Vibe CX34. It looks fun.
And the CM14 looked dope. That entry level device.
Super duper thin.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. It's fun.
So they're gonna put out some good devices. It's just this one missed. And that's part of it. Yeah. Wish that they wouldn't have shipped that.
They aren't the only OEM putting out turds. Yeah. There are others.
And I'm telling you what happened.
This is one that's available and people might be considering buying it, so we need to review it.
And it looks great in photos and stuff. Like on a Best Buy listing, like you look at it, it's all black and it's like just sleek looking. It's like,
And Asus's website, like their marketing people are awesome. Oh, yeah, their stuff always looks amazing.
They know how to make their stuff look real good.
Yeah. So, there you have it. Don't recommend it. There's other ones that you should check out.
Yeah.
So let's move on to a device that we are much more excited about. It's on the screen behind us, the HP Dragonfly Pro.
Yeah.
Coming
sooner than later.
Yeah, coming sooner than later. Yeah, we can't say
what
but
you're getting ready to say. Don't say.
Yeah,
that.
We can't say, but it's
sooner than later.
It's an incredible device. We had hands on with it at CES. You can go watch our hands on video.
That's one of those ones where I've tacked on quite a few views on our video because I've gone back and just watched it again.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Not to listen to myself. I just want to sit and look.
I just want
to
see
device.
It. The white one.
And remind myself like what I was thinking at the time. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right.
The simplicity of the design,
so sleek. I mean, if you look at it,
everything. It's just
you just glance up.
I thought it was
straight up Pixelbook Go vibes, man.
Oh yeah,
big Go.
Oh
vibes.
Yeah.
I want one of each. I want like his and hers, white and is it? It's blue or black?
It's black.
That's black.
Yeah, but it's like a. It's textury. It's got some.
Because I will say, Kenny's new midnight blue MacBook.
Pretty saucy.
Looks pretty sick.
It's pretty saucy.
It's sick until you try to plug in extra.
Yeah, two monitors,
to it.
And then you have to buy a $200 dock just so you can.
that is doing it in a pretty
jank.
workaround method to get two monitors out of the most powerful processor ever for one monitor.
Yeah.
So strange.
Lame. Like, it's an
so
absolutely
strange.
Unnecessary limitation on that device. That is Apple being the worst version of their company that I can imagine.
Yeah.
That part of Apple makes me want to.
Do they say that it will work with their displays if you buy theirs?
No,
can you?
No, they tell Kenny that device specifically, that chip is designed for basic tasks.
It's just for basic things.
You know, because like, hooking up two monitors is not
crazy
basic.
Like you've got to be a crazy person.
You have to buy the pro to get that.
The Celeron Chromebox over here from 4 years ago will run two monitors.
Apart from
the original,
a couple of those really crusty old Chromebooks over there, all of those Chromebooks we got on the shelf will do that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty lame. Anywho, tangent over. The HP we are very excited about, and you wrote kind of an opinion piece that I thought was a great write-up. So, you know, this is a device, $1,000.
That's we're guessing.
Likely.
That's my, like, we should probably take a bet. So we should do a poll.
It feels like it's going to be a $999
I feel
deal.
Like it. I feel like that makes
That's
sense.
That's what I think.
Like,
if
would
it
be
comes
one of those,
in below that,
if they do like
be
an $899 thing, I gobsmacked.
Right.
Like that word. Variegated
gobsmacked.
this guy's pulling out the heavy hitters today.
My second cup of coffee in like an hour and a half.
He got his Tesla, he got his coffee. Let's go. But
that would be wild.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be really wild. I don't see that happening.
I'll write up our user poll today and just put it
that'd
be great.
So we could do it as what would you be willing to pay or how much do you think it's going to be?
That's interesting. I think if it comes in below $1,000, it's going to be like wow.
I could
see it coming in over that.
I've thought like $1,099.
It is a top of the line premium device.
But
your article, you know, are people ready for that? Are people gonna spend that sort of money on a Chromebook? Is it time?
Right.
For that premium
and that happened,
Chromebook.
We were talking about
the
Galaxy Chromebook the other day for something, and that's what got my mind thinking about this whole thing. And,
right.
thinking about being in Vegas.
Have enough people adopted Chrome OS that that's their operating system, and they want the best of the best hardware.
Because HP first, thinks
is,
so.
This is a consumer device. This is not HP's an enterprise device.
Sitting on
device.
This for a while, because they made it very clear while we were in Vegas, and we asked to make sure, because, I mean, frankly, for the last 2 years, anything that comes out that's this nice is straight to enterprise.
It's enterprise channel.
Absolutely. It's like, I mean, the CX-9 was never marketed to consumers. Yeah. Like, it was completely built for enterprise.
I mean, even the Elite Dragonfly, which is readily available to the public, is not being marketed to the public.
No. There's still not a SKU that goes to Best Buy.
Nope.
You got to go to build your own and all that kind of stuff. And people are they're weird about that. And the pricing gets weird. And sometimes we find a deal and get people over there to
your
it.
Average consumer is not going
to
do that.
They're just, they need to walk in, see it. And if they're going to spend that much money on a Chromebook, they want to be able to feel it tangibly. This Dragonfly is being marketed to those people.
Yeah.
It'll be on display at Best Buy's. I guarantee it. It has one SKU, two colors. That's it. You know, they've made it very clear. This is not even, I don't even know if they're going to market it to enterprise. I mean, I'm sure some enterprises might pick it up.
Prosumer is what they're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're not messing around as far as that goes. So, it's not a question of like, oh, we feel like that's what HP is doing. No, we 100% know that's exactly the goal of HP here, which is, the more I thought about it, pretty rare for high-end Chromebooks. So, everyone's okay with a $600 to $800, maybe $500 to $800 nicer Chromebook with some extra stuff. You know, you got some that come with better cameras and some that have fingerprint scanners and stowed styluses and aluminum builds and yada, yada, yada.
Because we were talking about this yesterday. You'd be hard-pressed to name five $900-plus Chromebooks that were marketed specifically to consumers.
Yeah, and so once I started thinking about it, I was like, crap, which ones are there? So I was like, hey, stop. Name those that are actually marketed to consumers. And the one I left off there that you had said that I guess technically fall, was it the 436?
436, yeah.
Because there was, but was it ever available at like Best Buy or anything?
There was one model, but
but we always felt like it was overpriced and we didn't like that.
It disappeared as quickly as it arrived because nobody was buying it.
Yeah, so that was a weird Chrome. So I just there was too many okay, so I just pushed that one aside. So when you do that, and then you take the original Chromebook Pixel and Chromebook Pixel 2015, which are still delightful pieces of hardware.
Very nice.
We need to get, I want to get a 2015 one. Just because it has the same vibe as the 2013 one, but it's a little faster and it's got decent battery and USB-C. We need to get that in a Pixelbook in this place. Now.
Pronto.
Need to do it.
Happen. But
you take those out because they weren't marketed
to consumers.
No.
They were available on Google's website, I think, at the time. There was no Google store at the time. No,
those were like Nexus style devices. Yeah, they were like, this is what can be done with Chrome OS.
Yeah. And they wanted to get reviewers to mess with them, and a handful of people bought them, and there was a little cult following.
They were ridiculously priced.
For what Chrome OS was capable of at the time, it was very hard to ask somebody. Because we get into this all the time, value proposition, what is a Chromebook worth? And at the end of the day, if you can get your job done, you can do all the things you want to do on a computing device, and you're fully vested, now you just want better hardware.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Those things are worth it then. Chrome OS is there. It's been there for me personally for a long time, and so that's kind of the route I took in this article, saying, okay, for me, I know I've realized through years of doing this, my desires and wants for a Chromebook don't necessarily reflect those of the market as a whole. I'm not your average consumer. I am not the normal person that walks into a Best Buy. So when I step back and look at it that way, as much as I want these high-end Chromebooks, the market's not dictating that. So exactly, there's no sense for people to be making them. So here comes Samsung in 2020 with this really audacious, big, bold,
glamorous,
red, beautiful device, slim as can be. But it has some huge stumbles. You know, battery life's bad. It got kind of hot.
Trackpad stuff. Keyboard, yeah. Somebody emailed us about
the trackpad.
That.
They bought 20 of them.
Yeah, and they said they're having trackpad issues. I was like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah, that's,
did you not read our website?
Anyway.
Yeah. It was such a big swing, and I feel like the repercussions from that swing for Samsung have led to where they are right now. We're like, ooh, yeah, they exited. Are, like, what's happening with them? Because every time they make a Chromebook, it's a step backwards.
Yeah, they make some amazing Windows laptops. It's like, such
like
a
the Galaxy Book Pro, so
unbelievable.
put Chrome OS on that thing. Just
give it to us right now.
I picked one up at Best Buy the other day.
So beautiful.
It's to me, it almost feels like better hardware than like the newest MacBook Pros. It's the same feel and build quality, except they're thinner. I mean, they're just ridiculous OLED screens on them. Anyway, but they did that, and then they kind of like Homer Simpson themselves back into the shrubbery because it didn't work.
The Galaxy Go or two?
So they did the Galaxy Chromebook 2, which and then is a sequel, but
two Go or
it was the same processor.
Yeah,
it was 1080p. QLED screen, good screen, not as nice as what was on the original. It was a mostly plastic chassis versus the all aluminum thin chassis. It was like a bunch of downgrades basically for the two. That makes no sense. And then they came out the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Go, which was
that's the clamshell.
Yeah, that's right. It's like and 14
it's
inch.
Cheap. It's just plastic. Not great. Yeah.
And then they did the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook 2 360. By the way, the Chromebook 2 is a 360.
Yeah, it made zero sense.
So what name Chromebook names. But they put a quad HD screen, like a really nice screen and a plastic bottom chassis, and then put this turd of a processor in it that can't push quad HD very well. Like, okay. Yeah. So we see the trajectory that I feel like the original Galaxy Chromebook put them on. Like they've been backpedaling the entire time. And then you're like, okay, well, what other companies have done this? Google. That's it.
Yeah.
So Pixelbook, and you could call the Pixelbook Go the same type of thing. Yes, the M3 8128 Pixelbook Go was $650, right? Yeah. But the one that everybody told everybody to go get, and if you wanted a nicer Chromebook, was $900. Yep. I think. So in that $900 to $1,000 range, there's not many people that have tried it in the consumer space, and so it's like HP clearly is going for it.
Yep.
And I feel like they're obviously big boys and girls and do whatever they want. But hopefully they have the market research that would, for the Chromebooks, the number of Chromebooks they have sold, the number of laptops they sell, the presence they have in the market from enterprise, consumer, education, all that kind of stuff. Surely to goodness, they've done the research to realize we think it's time for something like this to hit the market. Like there are enough prosumer style Chromebook users that are going to use Chromebooks. Like I'm going to use a Chromebook. Like, that's what I'm going to use. It's what I prefer. It's not what I use because I have to. It's what I use because I prefer it. I want some hardware like this.
Right.
And maybe
they're
with
making the bet that there are more people like that.
Or HP's deep enterprise channels that they have, maybe they're going to use that to prop this up. And maybe they do still sell it to all these companies who have, on-the-go workers and all this stuff that aren't in need of an enterprise-style device. Maybe that will prop up the sales because I agree. As much as I love this thing and as excited as I am about it, you get people ask you about Chromebooks all the time. When people ask me, it's usually like, hey, is this $200 Chromebook a good one? People aren't going out to buy. People don't want to spend $1,000 on a MacBook. They just do because that's what it is.
What it costs.
It's what it is, and that's the expectation. Yeah. People don't go out going, I'm going to buy a Chromebook. I don't care what it costs.
Now, I will say real quick that there are we've had some conversations where we realize and know that Google's focus on Chrome OS this year is going to be a bunch of user-facing software updates. So maybe not these huge, splashy new features, because you don't need a bunch more new features, but cleaning up the OS, making it this better software experience overall for users, because they realize, like, finally they're in the spot where they're ready to start saying, hey, look, Chrome OS can be your only device.
Yeah.
Need to edit video? Here's a solution. Need to play games? Here's some solutions. You know, you want to get your basic stuff done? Here's a solution. Yeah. You need apps? Here's a solution. Like, it's a solution for all the things you need to do on your laptop. And so now, in order to make that push, if Google's really going to push into that, they need a few devices. We don't need 10 devices like this. We need one or two.
Right. And I think they've learned, too, is that one device can't be. I mean, we want more Pixelbooks, absolutely, but people aren't going to Best Buy and saying, I want to buy a Chromebook. I'm not sure which one I want. Do you have a Pixelbook that I can look at?
Right.
They're familiar with the HPs and the Asuses and the Acers. And
right.
They need these Halo devices to be from these manufacturers saying, we believe that the Chrome OS market is ready for this.
Right. Go ahead.
I would just say, I mean, it's I think HP, obviously, like they have to have had extensive research to build this quality of a device. Like, this is not a cheap thing. Like, I don't know what.
And they did work a lot. Like, For the last Dragonfly, it was them and Google working together.
That's what
this
I was
one
getting
apparently
at.
Is like
deep.
I feel like this one is Google saying, "Hey, we know that there are some people out there. Obviously, HP isn't going to build something they're not going to make some money on their corporation, right?
Right.
And it's like there may not be this thing isn't going to sell like hotcakes. I don't think, but we know from our Amazon data that we used to have that." We sold a lot of Pixel books.
And a lot
of people bought those.
And HP, at one point in time, Acer was the Chromebook manufacturer. Mm-hmm. If you go to HP's website right now, they have like 30-something Chromebooks that you can buy. They are mm-hmm. quickly becoming...
They're invested.
They know Chrome OS.
Yeah.
So they've got
a lot of devices
having
in the market.
Having talked last year with Alex, and I would assume Alex is more with HP, is more on the enterprise side of things. So I don't know how much involvement he's got with this one, but having talked with him even then, like, you know, they did a ton of research to figure out the stuff they wanted to add to the original HP Elite Dragonfly before they built it. So it wasn't like they're just building willy-nilly and just like, oh, we want to make a nice device. Like, they're really starting to think through, you know, what are people looking for? And so clearly somewhere they've heard the, and maybe honestly, it could just be a bunch of people sounding off about wanting a new Pixelbook.
Yeah.
And there's enough demand. Cause I mean, you don't have to move a million units of this thing. You know, 10,000 would suffice and they're going to make their money off of it and they're going to appease, you know, an audience that's going to help move the Chromebook market forward.
Yeah, and I don't know if the presentation they had is actually available publicly for replay, but during the presentation, that's what they said when they call it a prosumer device. There, so these are for the consumers who are looking for these things in a device that doesn't compromise, and they don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
They know they can buy this device, and it's going to do whatever they need it to do.
Yeah,
that's it.
Right.
Yep. And that's why I'm looking forward to it.
For
like,
sure.
I feel like there won't be any, you know, as long as you're not looking for a convertible. There won't be any deficiencies here. And there's not one thing I can think of that I'm going to be like, oh, I wish this did this. Did they ever say anything about USI compatibility?
No.
It's a clamshell, so I don't know. I feel like they would have thrown it in.
It is touchscreen, but it's not. We're not sure if it's USI. I don't know that we asked them.
No, I didn't even think about it.
We should email
them. Not a huge deal. But it is kind of nice sometimes if you want to grab your pen and mark up a document.
If you need to sign something or whatever,
like that stuff's helpful. But so that could be one thing. But I mean, the haptic trackpad gives you, boom, you got perfect trackpad. We don't have to worry about that. You know, and the keyframe on it felt marvelous typing on it.
Buttery good.
And HP's been making good keyframes for a
while. Speakers were rumbling the table.
I can't wait to hear them.
I want to put them on this table right here in this quiet studio and crank them.
I have a gut
feeling. That's
going
to be such a fun unboxing.
They're going to finally be the ones that unseat the Pixelbook Go. And I know people get tired of me mentioning the Pixelbook Go, but those speakers are ridiculous.
It's insane that they got that
silly
good of a speaker set in thin device.
And so when you start looking at it, it's like, man, all the pieces are here, all the internals you need. There'll be some gripes about the port selection and stuff, but
I mean,
there's part of me, it's like, I'm either like throw all the ports on it or do this. Just one of the two. Like,
four USB-C and that's it.
Everybody's got docks and dongles and everything.
And one more thing that says that this is definitely not geared towards enterprise, because enterprise you usually have HDMI.
This is for the tech savvy consumer
who buys the latest flagship smartphone, buys the latest iPhone, whatever. And USB-C is where it's at. And most people are using Bluetooth headphones, so it doesn't need anything
else.
And
the screen is going to be awesome.
It's like 1 million nits
or something.
An 8-megapixel front-facing camera.
You might burn your retinas.
Yeah, it literally will sear your face.
Scorch them.
No, that's not true.
It's 1,200, though, which is...
But then mixing all of that with a chassis that you pick it up and it just...
It's stunning. Yeah. You know, Pixelbook Go vibe. I mean, it's just so... rigid.
I'm so excited for this device. Yeah, like I haven't been this excited for a Chromebook in a while. I'm trying to remember the last time I was this like giddy.
We were really excited about the Galaxy.
The Galaxy Chromebook.
We saw the Galaxy in Vegas, and
we only had a few minutes with it. And that's part of me that remembers that.
Gotta hold your horses.
But I feel like lessons were learned.
Yeah.
And this isn't. Well, it's not making weird, because I remember leaving that in the Galaxy Chromebook being like, it doesn't have fans?
Like, what?
How are they going to do that? I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. No. Oh, it's so thin. Like, how did they make it that thin? They didn't put any battery in it.
That screen is absolutely gorgeous.
It's got a watch battery in it.
What's that going to do to a battery?
Yeah. It'll destroy it.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and yeah. Oh, it's super thin. Like, how do you fit your keyframe and everything in there? This, well, I don't know.
It has no travel at all.
Yeah,
and it doesn't work sometimes. Who knew?
I feel like we're looking at this one a little bit more objectively.
Yeah. I do. But I'm also hanging a ridiculous amount of hype on it. Like,
yeah, it's...
But I feel like it deserves it.
It's going to be such a fun unboxing. I cannot wait.
Can't wait for this
one. We will post a poll. We can do that. We'll do that one publicly. We can do it on Twitter or something and just see what people think this thing's going to cost, or maybe do it in the frame of what would you pay for this device.
I think we could do a post on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking I'll write up a post today and reference
what I think.
I'll reference your article about...
Yeah. You know, that's great.
And then discuss that. And
content.
We'll put a...
There we go.
I'll put a poll in, but then there'll be the last choice and you can put in your...
Can we have that ready before this goes out? Can we get that?
When's this go out?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. 100%.
Can we do a Twitter poll and then just embed the Twitter poll?
Should be able to, yeah.
Yeah, that way it's...
a Twitter post.
Yeah.
And that way it's hooked to Twitter and...
Yeah. I love this. I love this idea. We'll link it down. Well, yeah, we'll link that down in the show notes in the description so you can go check that out. But yeah, this is a device we're super duper excited about, and I hope that the market's ready for it. I hope that HP is successful with this device and they iterate on it. You know,
it's gonna be awesome, and I'm gonna drive around in my Tesla with it.
Oh, front seat. Are you getting the black or white one?
I think the white.
Dude, the white is so saucy.
I'm afraid it's gonna be so like greasy.
But once, like,
wash your hands.
But the RGB looks so good on that white.
It does.
But the black Pixelbook Go, that material is fingerprinty like crazy. So I'm like, the white one could mitigate that a little bit, and I think it's gonna give that Pixelbook vibe.
One gives like the OG Pixelbook vibe, and then that one gives Pixelbook Go vibe. So it's like,
yeah, that RGB on that white keyboard.
We'll get both.
One of each.
We'll
please.
Have one of each, please.
And here's the benefit.
Hey, one SKU.
Yep. There's two.
Which color do you want? That's all you have to decide.
No buyer's remorse.
There's no other options.
No shoulda, coulda, woulda.
No, nothing. Here's
what it comes
the black
with
or the white
nice.
Version.
It's 16/256.
16/512,
right?
I thought.
Is it 512?
Maybe.
I always forget.
Should be.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
But it's going to be an incredible device. Stay tuned. We'll have that
article.
It has
four USB ports. You can plug all the storage up to it.
Exactly. Yeah. What's the latest USB-C protocol?
It's they're all four. Yeah. So they all have Thunderbolt 4 too.
I always get confused with the Thunderbolt stuff. Anywho, going to be a great device. Check out our article and give us your vote of what you think thing is.
Here, I'm clicking into it. Here it is.
Okay. I think it's 512. I want to say it's 512.
This one doesn't have the spec 16? Listed.
Wow. Does he even internet? Like, nope. Does he even know how to use the internet?
It's our article.
Oh, wow. Good job, guys. Gabe.
There it is.
Shame on
16/256.
Okay.
I was correct.
Mine didn't have the specs in it?
They're in the paragraph. They're just not, there's not like a spec list on the, I figured the announcement one like that we did at CES would have the little list.
Busy.
We were writing a lot of content and
sleepy, jet lagged.
Yeah. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.